good day, good night, and welcome to World Cup Today. Brazil, Costa Rica this morning. Interesting game, entertaining game. It was very different than the result would tell you, Dwayne. It finished 2-0 for the Brazilians, but Costa Rica, up until that point, were pretty much full measure until Coutinho scored his second of the tournament.
Through 90 minutes, it was 0-0. I mean, 2-0 would be a result that if you'd said at the start of the day that, oh, yeah, 2-0, that makes sense. But no, the way this played out was not what you would have expected. I was ready to tweet out that, you know, who had Germany, Brazil, and Argentina all winless a week and a half into the tournament. But no, two goals in stoppage time. Salted away for the Brazilians, and they kind of got their jive back after that. They got the goal, and the goal was, you know, I said to you off air, it was kind of like Costa Rica was playing a pretty strong defensive, like, counter and have a few opportunities themselves game. And then they started with the CONCACAF stuff at the end, and man, were they CONCACAFing. And it was like karma. Karma kind of bit them in the butt, because as soon as they started that, that's when things went sideways.
Well, yeah, they start to play this defensively, and I guess it's a second nature. It's an instinct to start CONCACAFing for Costa Rica. Players staying down on the pitch, trying to get the good call. Speaking of good call, we've seen VAR in this game being influential, but in the opposite way that we're used to. Usually, it gives a penalty when the call on the field was no penalty. This time around, the Dutch referee called for the penalty on Costa Rica. Neymar got fouled in the box, but VAR took a second look, and no foul, no penalty, and it was a free kick for simulation for Costa Rica instead.
Yeah, why he didn't get a yellow card, I'm not sure in that particular case. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't, you know, enjoy watching that penalty being taken away, even though I don't like VAR. But at the same time, I'm not going to take that and say, oh, now I'm good with VAR. No, I'd still rather not be there. But yeah, the right decision was made at the end. Clearly was a dive. As I said, why he didn't get a card for it, I don't know. I think maybe him throwing the ball into the ground a few minutes later was maybe the ref turns a blind eye to that on another time, but in that particular case, particularly when you let him get away with the other one, it was like, nah, you're done now. And that could have a big deal too, because the cards aren't wiped out until after the quarters this time. So, you know, one more and Neymar has to sit a game out, and that's going to be a big story if that happens. So a significant moment in that game. Yes, this is a case where VAR, you know, made sure that the right thing happened on the field. I'm still not convinced by it, but in this particular case, it did, in fact, correctly identify what was a – like, well, he was touched a little bit in the – he was grabbed a little bit in the shirt. And so that's maybe the argument that it's a penalty. But the way Neymar flew himself back, yeah, that's the stuff you don't want in there.
And there's a great camera angle from the touchline on the sideline there where – you see Neymar falling from behind and him looking directly at the referee and the referee looking directly at him. He's like, are you going to call it? Are you going to call it? I'm falling backward. I'm falling backward. Are you calling it? You calling it? All right, you called it. It was a not a natural way to fall, right? And that's it's often how you know if it's a dive or a real fall, like a true fall according to laws of nature, where, trust me, if you fall and you don't plan on falling, you're going to try to protect your fall. So you will put your arms or whatever the part of your body that could help attenuate the impact of the fall. If you're trying to sell something, you will flop in an unnatural way where your arms will try to embellish the whole scenario.
And that's something the referees are actually taught to look for. But it works often. This is the problem, is that the reason diving is hard to stamp out is because it's so effective. And I guess maybe if that's one thing that VAR is used for, then I guess that's a good thing. I will admit that. But, you know, I don't want to get into a VAR discussion anymore now. It's the pedantic interpretation I don't like. But nonetheless, this was a particular case where it got this one right. Look, it was an intriguing game for 90 minutes. It really was. And Costa Rica, as you said off the top, was full measure for being 0-0 into it. And, you know, holding on for dear life at the end with that goal, just kind of a bounce, bounce, bang, bang play. And suddenly they're down a goal with 6 minutes to go. And they had no fight left at that point. It was, their heads were down. They didn't, I don't even think they had the ball over half after they fell behind the goal, it was all Brazil, and they got Samba. They, you know, doing their old Samba soccer at that point, right? And, you know, yeah. Neymar with his little flick over his head thing there, which, you know, I'm surprised to in CONCACAF, if that happened actually in CONCACAF where they had some spirit, he might have lost his head literally when he tried to get around the player. But
yeah, he's like, okay, I'm going to clothesline you right now. You're not going to do that again.
Yeah, fair enough. No, but look, Costa Rica, as I said, heading in, were probably a cycle too old, and certainly the quarterfinal run last time was a remarkable thing to see. I sort of thought they might be weak this time, and it's played out. They were eliminated with that. If you're not sure why, Serbia has 3 points, Switzerland has one. There has to be points given away in that match, which means one of those two teams will finish, will have at least 4 points, which means that Costa Rica can't catch them. They're out. In fact, this entire group, if Serbia were to win that game, this group will be wrapped up. We will know the two finishers, and there will be a complete dead rubber in that one, I think, correct? Yeah, it would be. Yeah, because if Serbia wins, then Switzerland will play Costa Rica in the final game in an absolute dead rubber. So that would be fun. We at least won't have to pick which game to watch that day, which is always a bit of a chore in the next round, which one to pick because they run at the same time. Yeah, this group could be wrapped up this afternoon, first one in the tournament.
Well, it depends. Brazil's got 4 points, right? So Switzerland's got one. Example, if Serbia wins this afternoon, Switzerland.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah, I was thinking Brazil was on three. I was on six. My mistake.
Yeah. So there's still a possibility. If Serbia wins, Serbia's qualified, and then it's all up to Brazil to make sure they get a result. If they lose the last game against Serbia, which is a possibility the way they played in the first two games, then Switzerland has an opportunity to maybe steal second spot. But still. The way it's looking right now, Brazil could find itself second in the group. Depends of Serbia. Depends of how good Serbia looks this afternoon against Switzerland. That's the question. Because, Costa Rica did not look good in their first game, but Costa Rica against Brazil looked a lot better. And I think it has to do about styles of play, too. The European aspect of teams playing in a European way on European soil, for some reason, which I still don't know why and I can't explain it, and I'm not saying it is something, but it is looking like something where European teams have the edge over South American team and CONCACAF team right now, and the CONCACAF team versus the South American team like Brazil and Costa Rica, the stylistic matchup was a bit more favorable for Costa Rica than Serbia was in their first game. But I'm still surprised South America have not looked good. And before the 6 minute of extra time, the narrative of today would have been, wow, 2 days in a row, the big South American powerhouse did not look good. 2 goals in extra time changes this a bit. But still, for Brazil, they're not firing on all cylinders. Did not look like a team that was able to find the final breakthrough versus Costa Rica. And Navas, until the last 6 minutes, of course, was having a great game.
Yeah, for sure. This is an entirely different conversation without those last 6 minutes. So at one point you have to step back and go, okay, well, let's talk about the first 90. And Brazil was just unable to break Costa Rica completely down. Now, that said, I think Navas played a major role in this. And without his, you know, extraordinary goalkeeping, Brazil might have got a breakthrough earlier. There's 11 people on the pitch, so you have to factor the keeper in it. But this is, you know, I think the more I see Navas play for Costa Rica, the more I'm convinced that he gets underrated because he's with Real Madrid and his club, and he just isn't needed that often. But this is a keeper that has to be top five in the world for sure, if not, you know, right up there at the very top based on what we've seen so far in this World Cup. So that is a factor in Brazil's struggles to break through. But
see the difference when you have a good goalkeeper? Compared Willy Caballero to Navas. Example, put Willy with Costa Rica. This game gets out of hand about 5 minutes in.
Well, perhaps, yeah. Willie's a good shot blocker, stopper. He's just likes to play with the ball on his feet too much.
He doesn't like it. He's nervous when he has to, but he's been asked by the coach to do so. And he's always like, man, why do you put me in that situation? Why? I'm not good at this.
There you go. I just want to stop the ball with my hands. That's why I went in goal. I can't use my feet. If I could use my feet, I'd be out playing.
Exactly. But to continue on this, Brazil. What is the level of Brazil? One interesting aspect mentioned by Tite, the manager, before the game today was that it takes about 5 games for a national selection like Brazil to finally gel and fire on all cylinders and be able to to finish the chances that they can create themselves. Do you think there's anything to worry about after two games? Brazil is not a team that impressed us whatsoever so far in this World Cup, not even in the top 2, 3, 4 conversation of the good teams we've seen in this World Cup so far. But knowing the talent of this selection, is it still hopeful for them? What have we learned so far after 186 minutes of watching Brazil play?
Well, of course it's still hopeful. It's Brazil. Let's be honest here. I mean, like, look, we could talk about, you know, France hasn't looked particularly overwhelming, but they're at 2-0, so you have to keep them in mind. Brazil got the result today, so they put themselves in the mix. They would have been in trouble if they'd been sitting on 2 points because, you know, any bad bounce in that third game, and they're probably out. I think with this result today, you suspect that they'll probably find a way to get through. And once they're in that round of 16, you know, are you going to want to draw them? Like, is there any team in the world that's going to go, yeah, no, I'll take them?
Because it takes a moment of genius. A ball that bounces around that ends up at the foot of Jesus, at the foot of Neymar, at the foot of Coutinho, 20, 25 yards out, and you can have a goal-scoring opportunity. So even if they're playing terrible, one moment of brilliance can give Brazil the lead in a game. And in a knockout game, in a one-off, you do not want that. So there's always the aspect that it's still Brazil.
No, absolutely. I think if you saw the way that they were sort of playing with a little bit of pizzazz after they scored that goal, maybe the nerves were kicking in. And now that they got that goal and seem to be more confident, that could be the thing that puts them over the top, right? So that's something to watch for moving forward. You can't ever count Brazil. I mean, they lost 7-1 in the last World Cup. That was so shocking that we still talk about it constantly. I think that it's almost marred our ability to understand that we are talking about Brazil. Although, that said, Brazil has not won a trophy in a long time. It's been since the Confederation Cup in 2009 that they haven't won a trophy this decade. So, you know,
and last World Cup was 16 years ago. Not 4, not 8, 16 in 2002 in Korea with Ronaldo's god-awful haircut. So, yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, and I mean, is that the longest stretch they've gone? I think it is probably the longest stretch they've gone without winning a World Cup. I'd have to confirm that, but certainly, you still Brazil, and they're all the South American teams so far. You know, they have probably with that last 6 minutes. I'm enough to say it's been a bad World Cup for the South American team. So that last 6 minutes makes me now think that Brazil is the most impressive looking team in South America in this World Cup. Which is a low bar, so we'll see what happens moving forward.
Now, the last topic of the show that I wanted to talk to you about, Dwayne, is something that we have been tipped off by a listener of the Five Rings podcast, which we usually talk about Olympics and big event in the world of different sports, amateur sports, Olympic sports, track and field, athletics. So we have a certain experience of talking about doping, Russia, Sochi, Icarus. We did a review of the documentary Icarus, which is really impressive, and the documentary is eye-opening. Speaking of eye-opening, we've talked about how Russia was impressive. You know exactly where I'm going right now. Russia, the sixth oldest team in this tournament by player average. They have been running 72 miles on average per game versus the average of 65, which is 11% more running for the Russia national team in this World Cup compared to other teams, and it's clearly an advantage, their fitness in this World Cup. Coincidence? I don't know. I'm just keeping an open eye, and when you look at those stats, it does bring some memories from 2014.
I am not as familiar with out-of-competition testing in the world of FIFA. I think that there's probably less of it because the club world takes more of a precedent, which made me, when you gave me these numbers, I went to look to see what exactly the composition of Russia's lineups have been over the past little while, and they've been about 95% Russian Premier League players. Which, if you were going to do something allegedly like this, then you would want your players to be in your league so you could control it even more. Look, we don't know.
Yeah, well, I'll just say what I know about drugs like EPO and drugs that will help your cardiovascular system. There's something to be said about those drugs to be used long time in advance of a certain competition, and you wean yourself off long time in advance, and the gains that you do make does stay longer than the traces of those drugs in your body. What am I saying? Is there evidence? They're like, no. And FIFA is different. We're probably not going to know like it was at the Olympics. It's not necessarily done the same way. But I wouldn't be surprised if, example, in theory, if EPO or something similar to this, clenbuterol, salbutamol, something that would either give you give your lungs a better capacity of processing oxygen, like salbutamol, which is a drug for asthma, like Chris Froome, that's what he's under investigation now after his Giro performance this year and the Vuelta last year. So that's the drug that he's been linked to, salbutamol, which is a cleaner of your lungs. It opens the bronchioles at the end of your lungs and makes for the oxygen passing and the processing of the oxygen to happen quicker, which gives you an edge. You recover your breath a little bit quicker, and it does give you an advantage. So if it's a drug like this, clenbuterol is used to make your muscle mass more important versus your fat. It helps your muscles get nourished a bit better. So that aspect of clenbuterol can be used as well if you have less fat, less weight to carry, and over a long game, 90 minutes, two games, 180, those marginal gains comes to a good effect. So if those things were to happen and used in the proper timing before the World Cup, and you wean the players off of it in the perfect timing, the gains might be able to stay 26, 31 days in the body, and that's without traces. So what am I saying? I'm not saying anything. I'm saying Russia's looking impressive, and we should keep an open mind because of the last 4 years.
Look, yeah, and the reason we're going to openly talk about something like this is precisely because what happened at the Sochi 2014 Winter Olympics. And if you don't know what happened at the Sochi 2014 Winter Olympics, Icarus, which is a documentary movie you can get on Netflix, watch it. And your eyes will be open in terms of what performance-enhancing techniques were used and how much state-sponsored stuff went on there. And, it fits. I mean, they've earned the suspicion. Right. And we tend to give them a little bit of pass on the team sports a little bit more, I think, for a lot of reasons, especially ones that have international competition involved, club wise. But again, as I said, these are mostly players that play domestically on this Russian team. Look, I hate to have these conversations, but the cheaters in other sports and the cheaters in countries across the board, like we've seen with Russia in 2014. And this isn't allegedly anymore. We know that. The Russians did this.
2014 is not allegedly. What we're talking about now, it can be. We're just saying that the numbers, when you look at it about their performance cardiovascularly, I don't know if you can say it like this, but I just did over the first two games, does seem like an outlier. So it's just something to take a look at and see the ramifications of this.
Yeah, no, and it's unfortunate, but that's the reality that it's the bed they made. So we'll watch this with interest. Certainly, as we said, we joked in the preview that it would have less of an effect because you can't put skill in a bottle, but you can put fitness in a bottle. And in a group like they're in, fitness would play a major role. I still think that when they run into a more skilled team, they're going to be in trouble. But nonetheless, I think that their goals for Russia in this World Cup would have been to not embarrass themselves. And this might have been, if you're in a Russian government and you're still thinking the way that they thought in 2014, getting out of the group and showing, having a good showing would be something that would be obtainable if you can find a little bit of an edge. If you can outrun Saudi Arabia, if you can outrun Uruguay, Egypt, the teams that aren't quite at the same level as the world's best, then maybe you get a result there and you hold your head high when you eventually go out to a Germany or whoever that just has more skill than you. They can justify that. They couldn't justify like bailing out at the group stage. That would be an embarrassment to Mother Russia.
So far, they've outrun Saudi Arabia in the opening. And they've outrun Egypt in the second game. If they outrun Uruguay in the beginning of next week, yeah, three times the charm, they say, or fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, it's on you. Maybe something like that. But it's just something to think about. So, am I saying Russia is doping at the 2018 World Cup? No. Am I saying the performance of the players versus expectations is surprising? Yes, because that happened because of motivation and great play and incentive of, look, if you win a game, I'm giving you $1 million each. Maybe. Or there's always other means. Or you have to look deeper at the entire performance, and I would be very interested to take a look at all the Opta stats, all the stats, if available, of every single player's heart rate and stuff like this during this game, and that might tell you if you if you know the baselines of what levels should be in body of either testosterones, of epitestosterones, of the processing of the oxygen, the quickness of that. So, yeah, it would be interesting if I was a doctor to take a look at those baseline results to see if there's any other outlier than just the fact that they've outrun 11% more than other teams so far in this World Cup in their games and have achieved surprising results.
Yeah, look, final thought. Well, not thought so much. Final little pointing I'm going to give you here. You know, if you enjoyed this conversation, if you're interested in learning more about this conversation or hearing more of our thoughts in more detail about some of the this stuff and how it works, go on to our Five Rings podcast feed. Five Rings podcast is our Olympic and amateur sport podcast that right now this is going out on as well, because we include world international soccer tournaments within the confines of that podcast. But we in between Olympics and during Olympics, we will talk a lot about these issues. We did a whole entire show on the movie Icarus. Go back, listen to that, find Netflix if you have it, and watch the movie. Combine that with our conversation and you'll have a good indication. In fact, just go listen to our Five Rings archive if you want to hear about doping, because we talk about it a lot.
And the thing is, Five Rings podcast, whenever the world is watching, Five Rings is talking about it. So the World Cup, the world is watching, we're posting it on Five Rings, because it's worldly, it's international, and that's how we roll, Dwayne. We are worldwide. And looking at the numbers and where the listeners come from, we are actually worldwide. So thank you to the five of you in Sri Lanka who listened yesterday. I thank you guys. You guys made my day.
Yeah, there you go.
It's Sri always Lankans. Surprising. Yeah, it's always surprising. Like, why are they listening? They're not even in the World Cup, not even close. But hey, thank you guys for listening. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Laramie. There's Iceland versus, Jesus, I'm drawing blank here. Who's Iceland playing, Dwayne?
Nigeria.
Iceland, Nigeria at 11, and as well this afternoon, Switzerland versus Serbia. We'll talk about those games tomorrow, Saturday, another busy day for the World Cup, and we'll be back tomorrow as always. Podcast versions available at sportspodcastingnetwork.com and anywhere you get your podcast. Look for Soccer Today or World Cup Today, and you will find our podcast. As well, we're brought to you by sportsinspired.ca. You like a World Cup inspired collection of apparel, great hats. We have some great t-shirts and great sweaters and hoodies. You can find those at sportsinspired.ca. And as always, until tomorrow, have a great soccer.